Welcome to episode 61 of Pod Your Own Adventure. Today's episode, Sail with Pirates by Jim Gasparini. Hello and welcome back to Pod Your Own Adventure. My name's Robin, and an interesting fact about me is that I recently learned the easiest way to sour your audience on your TV show. It's called Orange is the New Black Season 3. I'm joined today by Sean McTiernan. Hello.
Hello, it's your boy Sean Money McTiernan, a.k.a. Abraham Lincoln Address, a.k.a. the Medium Pollen Count, a.k.a. the last child on the school swim day. No parents in sight. How's it going, Robin? I don't watch Orange is the New Black. Because I guess books. I watch plenty of shit. I don't know. I think I'm maybe like just. I looked at it and I was like, you know, distressed people in prison. Maybe not for me. I don't know. I watched a lot of Lock Up at a certain stage in my life, and I thought, you know, too sad. It turns out.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a thing that it's. It's not... The first two seasons weren't that sad. There's drama that happens in it, obviously, because it's drama. But, like, there's a lot of...
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice characters in there, and they generally get on quite well. But, like, what I liked about it is that it has... It's got a lot of issues in there, but, like, it never goes for the easy plot lines. Like, there's a thing about a relationship between a guard and a prisoner. And they go into statutory rape, but the woman in it consents to it. It's mostly done for them to try and get this one prison guard fired, which, sure, that might not be the best example I could have set out the bat, but also Laverne Cox plays a trans woman in it who is called Sophia Bassett, and she's really good, and everybody treats her with some respect. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, look, you see, the thing is, right, when you're like me, and everything is set up for you, you can look at things that are set up for other people and go, eh, not for me. And there's like a thousand other things that I can be like, oh man, this guy looks a bit like me. It's every comedy movie from the last 10 years. Mm. And I'm being rewarded with a model girlfriend. Fantastic. But I guess when you're, like, I was thinking about this, like when, like you might not like everything about a show, but when you show, see, feel a show has something of you in it, you want to support it in some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like represents people. And it's shit because you can get stuck with really shit shows. I mean, that's why, right, so much of video games, right, is so bad because people, right, are unable to progress past the idea of they're bullied and video games are for them. So they defend these things that are, like, fundamentally terrible on every level. Like, Hotline Miami 2 got praised as this, like, metafictional piece of genius, right? I played Hotline Miami 2 recently. Do you know what else did exactly what it did, basically? Human Centipede 2? Like, nice fucking bar guys. But, like, yeah, like, you just, they defend things. You know, like, to like something, I can understand, like, I don't mean to conflate video games, gamers and human beings, but to, like,
Jesus.
Like, I don't mean to conflate those, but you can feel like you root for something even though it has flaws. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, for instance, like, you know, Graham Linehan, right, is from Ireland. So I hope no one ever watches his shows because they'll think Irish people are like him, tall and angry. Now, unfortunately, I am both of those things. But my point here is maybe I'll get around to it, I guess.
I think Graham Linehan's finest role was when he was in Alan Partridge and said that Sunday Bloody Sunday wasn't actually about how Sundays can be hectic and chaotic, it was about a massacre. And
yeah, but you see, the thing about that is, I have a feeling someone else might have written that for him.
Also, it could have been.
Also, very, very telling about, interesting about Graham Linehan is, please don't mention him in the description of the show, by the way, he's a big self-Googler.
Yeah, I cannot fucking stand people that search themselves by name just to start fights with people.
Yeah, I mean, he's big into that, and that seems like, you know, do something else, really.
Yeah.
You know, is the thing. And then everyone's like, oh, but he's great. And it's like, no, he's really, like, I saw him tweet, somebody pointed out that he tweeted this thing about Donald Trump, or maybe Donald Trump has nobody to tell him that he's being a raging egomaniac. And it's like, oh, man, I wonder what that's like. Oh, dear. But yeah, I mean, Orange is the New Black. So you don't like the new season then?
No, because like I was saying, that seasons 1 and 2 had, like, good representation of a trans character and also managed to do a prison rape storyline that wasn't really about a character being raped. Well, guess what's got wicked sick transphobia and a revenge rape plot in it?
Oh, boing. That's pretty bad. Jesus.
It's like, not only is it disappointing, it's also just lazy.
Yeah, that's fucking shit. Yeah. Well, my condolences, I guess.
Oh, well.
I mean, it's funny, right? Because you're partly watching the show. It's not like Game of Thrones where, you know, you watch a fantasy show, so immediately you're subhuman and deserve what you get when you watch a show that's basically like, I'm Azagon of Quaggagoth. Look me to the misty men, for I find in hither a rape happening. Yah, ton, ton, teedleton. Like, I've never seen the show. I gather that's mostly what it's like.
No, I think you're quoting, actually.
Thy art repurposing English history, which nobody art's recognizing, because art, Game of Thrones art. Yeah.
I think the only thing you missed was the white savior stuff they've got going on in there.
Oh,
but
that's
otherwise,
right, of course. Please, no one notice that they're all carrying me on their shoulders. Yes, it's the big dragon's burden, Robin. It's very great joke there. Fantastic. The thing you have to understand, like, but you're watching Game of Thrones and you're like, oh, lads are dying and it's like this intrigue thing and I can get this in no other medium books. So this is the best, where there's like characters that are like developed. Fuck yeah. But you're not like watching it because it's like, oh, this improves the world by exposing people to other viewpoints. You know what I mean? Apart from, like, bodybuilding in Northern Ireland. Which, let me say, both of those things contain them. A lot of my very good friends are from Northern Ireland. And incredibly intense people. Anyway, none of them, to my knowledge, own a big wall. You see, if I knew more about Game of Thrones, I could make better joke. But I'm just like, people say that guy knows nothing. Loads of people are dead.
That newscaster knows nothing, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And like, what's the other thing people are like? Oh, the books are different from the how has this happened? And now the TV has lapped the books. So now people are like, not even being rewarded for reading. Why read? And it's very funny. Also, I see, because again, I have the incredible displeasure of living in Dublin. I see the guy, the blonde guy, the kid, the king, Jeffrey.
Oh, Jeffrey, yeah, that's him.
Yeah. I see him like once every 2 weeks or something because he works there. No, like, and I guess I'd be excited. Like, there was an American intern and he was like, oh my God, you saw that guy. And I was like, yeah. I saw fucking Carcetti as well. Is he in it? And it turns out he was. Carcetti's in it too. He plays like fucking Big Tom or something. And he's like, oh man, you saw Big Tom, you saw Jeffrey. And I'm like, I feel really bad. Incidentally, I also saw the woman who is the worst part of Channel 4's show, which I really liked, Utopia. I saw her as well, an Irish theatre actress who someone decided should be an action star. And like, Utopia, very good show. Maybe perviest camera I have ever seen when it comes to shooting that woman outside of like Quentin Tarantino weeping into women's feet or whatever.
He just likes women's feet. What's wrong with making an entire film called Death Proof so you can have an excuse to just film close-ups of women's feet stepping on accelerator pedals?
Yeah, and definitely there's no problem with the rumoured way that the stage directions were written in the first script of Django Unchained, where a pejorative was used for a group of people casually. Anyway, listen.
Hell yes.
Listen, all of those things aside, Quentin Tarantino, Breakfast Club, what a movie. Anyway.
He loves saying that word. Like,
He does. He put himself in a movie, saying it to people, and then was like, come at me. can you imagine if Quentin Tarantino had been around when people's feelings were invented by the internet 15 years later? what would have been done? Anyway, listen, he invented films. So he's made the oldest film you can like. And it's cool to put yourself in a pose from that movie and wear a bad Kill Bill t-shirt. You're cool for doing that, guys. Anyway, look, Robin.
What do they call a Big Mac in France? Love Big Mac.
Bangers! I mean, who writes dialogue like that? Nobody. Hey, I'm Harvey Keitel, and I've come here in a bit of a rush. No one could have foreseen how good that is. Listen, all joking aside, Quentin Tarantino, Four Rooms, an absolute classic. If you've any way, if you're in any way at all physically attracted to Madonna, that's the movie to watch. If nothing else, you know, at least he was in Four Rooms. My Four Rooms humor really falling down dead ears here. Maybe I'll move into my Killing Zoe chunk. He was also made the movie Killing Zoe. He, like, there's all these movies he erased from his, like, you know, fucking career. Oh man, also Quentin Tarantino. If you hate women, which you already probably know a lot about Quentin Tarantino, but Quentin Tarantino's partner, I'm not sure if she still is, was a really big deal horror blogger. Who it turns out plagiarized like hundreds of articles from IMDb message boards and stuff like that. And then when was confronted from this, like basically pulled a full poochie and was like, well, my home planet needs me, and closed all of her social media. Is he so good? Like, not a leg to stand on. She was just like, well, I'm dating a famous man who... is well known for being so insecure I can basically stay with him forever, and I'm going back to teach elementary school. Goodbye. Yeah, crazy, right?
Wasn't that the Aaron Diaz situation as well?
What's the Aaron Diaz? Who's Aaron Diaz?
Dresden Kodak.
Well, I
it's a webcomic.
Alright, okay.
You that see, might be why you didn't read
see,
it.
See, I just don't have enough cultural awareness. If only I knew more about webcomics and video
Fuck.
Games.
I've put it in my mouth, haven't I?
Just bodied. I just it's the end of the show.
I'll go. End of music. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
This is like when one of those people on have I? It's like when Ian Hislop is on when I have I got news for you, and the person beside him is like, I'm a politician, and he goes, oh, the government, and everybody cheers for like 20 minutes. That's what. I'm Ian Hislop. and this is Jackass. So what book are we doing then, Robin?
Right, so we are going to be doing one of the Time Machine books where we go through time and become a pirate. This is not a choose your own adventure. This is not a fighting fantasy. This is something different. It's kind of janky. We did one of these before and we got stuck in an endless loop for a while because it wasn't too clear what happened.
Nice.
If this is your first time listening to the show, hello.
Hello.
Every time one of these comes out, I get a different guest. We read through a different book. The guests make the choices about where we go in the game book. I read through it. Maybe there's bants. Who knows?
Oh, it, potentially. Let me say, I was on before and at least one of those episodes was okay. So if you enjoyed this one, maybe you like the other okay one.
Just ticking a big box in your checklist that says Bets Hedged.
Bets Hedged is actually my fifth abandoned nickname from the start. Bets Hedged and I was going to say Betson and Hedges, but then I was like, oh, do I want to endorse smoking? A child could be listening to this, confused, trying to find the what podcast do children listen to? There's so many.
Syria.
And there's definitely a quality. Anyway, I was about to go into a big insulting thing there about people who make podcasts. You know what I mean? Don't want to do that. Don't want to start any beefs.
See, I was going to make a joke about Captain Crunch and then say that a kid's favorite podcast would be Serial, of course.
You know who else likes Captain Crunch? Our boy, Quentin Tarantino. QT, as you and I call him, Robin. Cinephiles in the know. What a fan of pop culture. Funny his approach of repurposing a load of old shit and saying it's yours never caught on.
Alright, so your mission is to find the wreck of the richest silver ship ever to sink in the Caribbean Sea and to bring back some of the treasure. In July 1641, the richest Spanish galleon ever to sail the Caribbean left Veracruz, Mexico. Her name was Our Lady of the Pure and Immaculate Conception. The Spanish sailors called her Concepcion for short. She was a big, powerful ship, but she sailed slowly. I wasn't trying to affect an accent, by the way, there. They've swapped out the T in Conception for a C.
Do you think when they say, you know, in the ship, right, they're on the ship,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming into dock, right, and it's like, they go, Conception, do you get it? Like, the, like, could you get it? Like, Inception, do you get...
Huh. Nice. Nice.
Sorry. I do it again, might be funnier. But anyway, so we figured out you're not a racist.
I just need to reassure everybody I'm not a racist.
Yeah. The first of many. Chin chin.
All right. And did we pick this book because it would be, like, the least likely to have racism in it?
You know what? Yes, I think I should be applauded for that. Robin gave me a big bevy of books, and they were all things like, you're an inscrutable man in medieval China. You're this list of horrors. Like,
oh, Civil War America. What could go wrong?
People kind of don't think pirates exist. Although pirates, basically, not as they're portrayed, but as Patrice O'Neill famously said, a guy in a Barney t-shirt and tuxedo shoes with an AK-47 is what pirates actually look like now. But, which I always thought was a very evocative description. But yeah, we're in fake pirate country. What's the worst thing go wrong?
All right. She was a big, powerful ship, but she sailed slowly, for good reason. She carried 140 tons of silver in her hold. The King of Spain, heavily in debt, waited eagerly for this immense treasure to arrive. In August 1641, the Concepcion reached Havana, Cuba. 1 month later, along with a fleet of other ships, she departed for Seville, Spain. She never made it. Off the coast of Florida, a tropical storm almost sank the Concepcion. Searching for shelter, the crew sailed her south. She hit a reef, or sunk an island and broke apart. Her passengers escaped in rafts before the ship sank. Months later, they tried to find the reef again. They never found it. The King of Spain was furious, but there was nothing he could do. The fortune in silver was lost in the ocean. For 40 years, it sat somewhere on the floor of the Caribbean Sea, until William Phipps, a sea captain from the British colony of Massachusetts Bay, went looking for it. Good old Americans saving the day.
What a legend. Just a coincidence, my parents returned from Cuba yesterday.
Oh, right.
I was told... if you ever want to understand my mother, this is the anecdote. They were in a group of 10. One of the people in the group was a film director who had directed a movie with Robert Williams in it. Later found out that was Robin Williams. And he was taking a lot of candid pictures of everybody in the group because he wanted to have a good impression and offered to send them the pictures. And my mother, I said, oh, isn't that great? A professional director. I don't know who it was. And she said, oh, so annoying. He kept taking all these pictures. I couldn't get my mother, like, trying to step in front of a man with an 8 grand fucking camera with her flip camera. So she can get a fucking, some, like, tunnel vision picture of some fucking building in Cuba. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh, terrible. But, yeah, anyway. So it never made it to Seville.
It never made it to Seville.
Oh, dear.
Ever since Phipps' voyage, treasure hunters have wondered if another fortune might be waiting in the sea. No one knew exactly where Phipps found his reef. They only know it was somewhere to the north of the island of Hispaniola. Today, the island is divided into two countries, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. He decided to head for the Bahamas in 1684. William Phipps stopped there on his way to search for the treasure, and he's the only one you're sure can lead you to the silver. Your mission? Find the lost Concepcion and bring back some of its treasure.
Who's giving me this mission? Is this just like the secret? Like, is this guy just writing all this out, being like, okay, if I write this down enough, this will happen? Like, if I use, like, positive, okay, I'm obviously an explorer, Cube as a play. Like, that's, yeah, okay, maybe it's that. Maybe it's just, like, self-belief, you know?
Well, why this not? Is the thing, like, when we open when I open the book, like, the very first page, it says, attention, time traveler. This book is your time machine. So it's and also I turned over the page and there's this big spiral diagram where it says time travel activated, standby for equipment. So the book is implying that it itself is giving me this briefing and I am traveling through time just by reading this book.
What's always good is if somebody takes the metaphorical power of something like reading or a book and makes it literal in a really asinine way. I find that really underlines the qualities when you're like, oh man, you know, it'd be great if someone wrote on drugs, makes you forget your troubles for a while, can be quite bad afterwards. I suppose they do that with smoking, I guess. Although I don't know if everybody, you know, smokes to have a cool no jaw. Condemned kind of character look, man. Bought up Condemned again. Marcus Sean McTiernan podcast bingo cards.
Condemned 2 will always have a place in my heart, but Condemned 1, very worth what we're talking about, let's be honest.
Condemned 1, I think if you want a representation of the word gnarly in one disc, Condemned 1, that's what you're looking for. Condemned 1 is like life. It's very tough, very engaging, first person. And it ends with huge disappointment. In Condemned's case, a magic ninja somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so, okay. So we're in the time traveler thing. You know, conceit accepted. And we have to find this gold. Okay. Silver, not gold. Silver.
Silver. It's more valuable because less people care about it. I'm not sure where I'm going here. As you begin your mission, you must observe the following rules. Time travelers who do not follow these rules risk being stranded in time. You must not kill any person or animal. You must not try to change history. What
the... Oh, okay. Someone doesn't understand. Oh, man.
We're going to go back and steal... What? How much? 160 tons of silver. 140 tons of silver. My mistake. We're going to go and just take 140 tons of silver, but we're not changing history.
This is like when they write no fighting in nightclubs. Look, what are they for? You know, like you can't fundamentally misunderstand the appeal of something you're doing and be like, oh, you know. Also, like, you know what's good about time travel and explaining the loopholes of time travel, Robin? Nothing. Nothing is
what's good about it.
Nothing is good about when people are like, oh, but what if, right? What if you come back, but it's not you, it's someone else, and a second person arrives, and then a third person. Was it you all along? Fourth person's here to answer that. And actually, there is a good movie.
Time works the same way.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Time is a narrative conceit. And just like every narrative conceit, video games have destroyed it by exposure to idiots. So, really going hard in the video games today. But yes.
I was going to say, I was going to say that there are two films that I keep going back to whenever we talk about whenever time travel becomes a thing, and that's Looper and Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, because they both do the exact same thing, and that's when Basil Exposition, played by Bruce Willis, looks into the camera and says, try not to think about it too much, I'm sure you'll just have a good time.
Looper, one of the things, Looper is in the pantheon of things which probably have pretty cool names outside Ireland, but in Ireland have really weird names, because Looper is what, like, some people call crazy people?
So,
so Looper's kind of a semi-derogatory term for a crazy person. Like, knack also was a bit weird, because knacker's a derogatory term for members of the travelling community, like a really bad derogatory term for members of the travelling community. And also Epic Mickey, because Mickey means penis. So Epic Mickey... So basically, shops had to stock a toy that was called Huge Penis that children bought and put into their things, which were called Wii's, confusingly. One would have thought that was back to front. But yeah, so that was, that's the place Looper occupies in my heart.
That's beautiful, thank you. All right, so we got halfway through the rules before we went off topic. I think that's a new record for us.
Soldier on.
You must not take anybody when you jump in time. Avoid disappearing in a way that scares people and makes them suspicious. You must follow instructions given to you by the time machine. You must choose from the options given to you by the time machine. So that's... We're going to give you two or three choices, and those are the ones you have to take.
Why not just write, you are a pirate? Like, what is this conceit? Like, where it's like, oh man, we've come up with some sick branding for the time travel stuff. Really bend your book around that fucking... Kids love time travel. Back to the Future, Johnny Mnemonic, I assume, I haven't seen it. People love fucking... No time travel. No, please. But yeah, that's bizarre.
He asks for room service. That's what happens instead.
Yeah, excellent. I've got 80 gigs in my head. What a legend. Man, Keanu, fucking Kano, give it up.
80 gigs, that's a lot of megabytes.
That's a lot, yeah, that's a fucking, that's almost, whoa. I don't even like to think about it. That's why, that man's got just under 7 Blu-ray rips in his head. Who knows? All 7 of the Fast and Furious movies are in my head. And I have to get across, the free world needs them.
Daddy's got to go to work. Yes. I thought that just hearing about that bit in the trailer has kind of made me want to watch Furious 7. Just, you know, The Rock saying Daddy's got to go to work and flexing his cast off.
I think The Rock is The Rock's a problem. I think The Rock, like, my favorite Onion story ever. I'm sure I've said this on this podcast before because it's a comedy podcast. And we're doing nothing if not comedy. My favorite Onion story ever is 24 publicists dead, 4 injured in the struggle to make The Rock known as Dwayne Johnson. And the whole thing is like all of these publicists were killed to get people to acknowledge that The Rock's name was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, to get people. And the last line of the story is The Rock is a famous wrestler. It's so mean. But it's just like, oh yeah, The Rock's a cool wrestler. But yeah. Anyway, okay, so we've just about got a minute 25. All right, we've got the rules out. So...
All right, you take with you an old-fashioned knapsack with a few useful items, including a knife, sailor's clothes, and a map of the Caribbean in the 1600s. I'm glad they got the knife out of the way first. Obviously, they've got their priorities. So, to begin your mission now, turn to page 1, or we can learn more about the time to which we will be travelling to over the next few pages. But that involves maps and reading. It tells us about scurvy and Christopher Columbus. He seems like a nice chap. And...
what a legend. Well, look, Robin, as Mystical once rapped, I came here with my dick in my hand, or on the censored version, I came here with my mic in my hand, which is pretty funny. So I'm here to do business. Let's skip all the learning and go straight to the action.
All right. You're standing in the hot Caribbean sun in New Providence, the Bahama Islands. It's April 26th, 1684. Hey, Lucky, a man gets up from the sand under a palm tree and waves in your direction. He must mean you, because you're the only one around. He walks up painfully, leaning on a rough crutch made from a tree branch. You got out of here just in time. Lucky Sentry, afore the Spanish come to burn us down. Who is Lucky Sentry, you wonder? What did you come back here for, anyway? He looks at you with a puzzled grin. Don't you remember, Hiram Robertson? Well, you explain that you ought to sail with a Captain Phipps. Okay, I feel like Hiram Robertson's probably somebody that I should know about if we're going to carry on with this, but...
yeah. I guess... let's just do what you do at work when someone says the name of somebody and you're like, that could be one of four people. Let me just make the face. Mouth is a line. Of course. Yeah. That's them all over. Oh, let me tell you.
I think isn't he in Game of Thrones?
Man, you know who is in Game of Thrones, Robin? I've just remembered. The man who does Alexander Technique with my uncle. Who constantly complains that acting is not for him. And he wants to go into Alexander Technique full time. I was captivated by that story. If only I knew in what context he would appear. Is it the man who's called Long-Haired Dragon Man? Or is it Guy Everyone Likes? Or is it Handsome Blonde Guy? Or like, I don't know which actor. I think it's one of the minor ones. I think it's one of the various angry men in neutral clothing. Like the Night's Watch or whatever they're called.
My favourite thing about Guy Everybody Likes is when they made him into a rapist, and that's not a joke.
Oh, dear. Like,
there was a character, I can't remember the name of, I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to be funny. That wasn't the dig at you, that was a dig at me, by the way.
No, I'm not funny. I understand, don't worry.
Yeah, there's a character that apparently was quite likeable, and at one point in the books he has a sex, and then in the TV show he does a rape, and it was unnecessary because
let's
it's
turn
Game
this
of
book
Thrones.
All the way up to so, contempt yeah. for humanity. Yeah, like that's fucking yeah, that's bad. I went to see the movie Once Upon a Time in America last week. It's 4 hours and 10 minutes long, in the cinema. And in the climax, kind of, or like the climactic story thing that happens in hour 3, is that the guy who is the closest to the protagonist rapes his childhood sweetheart. If I spoil that movie for you, right. You don't understand how movies work. Fuck you, basically. but two people walked out and I thought, yeah, fair enough. I knew this happened in this movie, but what the fuck, Sergio Leone? I mean, of course Sergio Leone did that. It's in his nature. But he's a fucking Western director. What's he going to do? Show any human empathy? But it's pretty bad.
So, well, yeah, Hiram Robertson, that seems like a name we should know, but I don't know anything. All right. Well, you explained that you want to sail with a Captain Phipps. Phipps? Why, he's looking for sailors. Hurry on down to the harbour. He's about to sail. You walk with Robertson, who asks strange questions about a ship called the Timely and about pirates. He seems surprised that you don't understand. The town is a mess. People are replacing damaged roofs and doors and the few houses still left standing. There's Phipps now, says Robertson. Oh, Captain! A tall, powerful-looking man stares you up and down. A little young to put to sea, he finally says, assuming that... know that the person reading the book isn't a 25-year-old person.
Yeah, I'm actually 26, so I'm even more complimented by this. Do you think this is one of those Google interviews, though, where you're like, you're a little young, or are you young? How many windows are in New York? and you're supposed to like puzzle through and be like, oh, well, I'd count the buildings, I suppose, I'd ring the windows. Yeah, so maybe he's just trying to psych you out, you know.
Mm.
Could be another 41-year-old man protagonist like the previous books we've done, so...
I may be young, you say, but I'm eager. Again, very...
nice one.
Making lots of assumptions about us. I want to learn everything there is to know about sailing. All right, sailor, but listen here. We're after sunken treasure. Plenty for everyone if we find it, but no pay at all if we don't. Hard biscuits and salt beef, rough weather and too much sun.
Are these the other sailors? No. Okay, sorry.
I think hard biscuits is one of my aliases.
Yeah, I think salt beef is definitely, I've put out a few 7 inches under the name salt beef, but hard to get now, so catch him if you can.
Salt God, beef. I think I'm committing to this now. If I ever put out any music, I'm calling myself Hard Biscuits.
Hard Biscuits is a good man. I was in a band called Moses and the Red Sea Pedestrians, or Dead Sea Pedestrians, I forget which it was. But like, I mean, band names, good band names are like hard to come by. My favourite one, I was in a band that never did anything. There's this thing in Ireland called the Young Scientists Exhibition, where it's like a school science thing, and the band was called the Young Scientists Exhibition, and it was like... The band name was too good for us to do anything with, because we'd be able to go out on stage and be like, we're the Young Scientists Exhibition, because everybody has to go to it in school here, you know what I mean? It's like along the lines of like one of my favorite band names, which is Victim's Family, who used to come out every set and say, we're the Victim's Family, and then play. It's just a fucked up thing to say, like,
free beers along the same kind of line,
fucking
as well,
free beers though. Like, there's a great line on a half man half biscuit song that's like, what is it again? Much to my dismay, Quiz Night was a band who thought they were funny or something. like that line ends with, in a pub I had hitherto thought I could trust or something. Half Man Half Biscuit, very good band. But yeah,
that's
yeah.
good.
So Phipps is like, oh, you're young, and you're like, my greatest weakness is I'm too enthusiastic.
I've got a great work ethic.
Yeah.
All right, where's Jim Teal, the captain calls. He tips the man with a crutch for finding you. I say tips, he means he compliments him, he doesn't just push the guy over.
He tips the man with a crutch. You know, if you microwave a lemon, you can actually get more juice out of it.
Life hack!
Oh, wonderful. Cut a Häagen-Dazs thing in half, and then each half serves it as a bowl. Or take the top off... Either is fine.
That's a fat man life hack right there.
Hey man, my speciality. Don't reveal the name of my Tumblr before it's ready for books. Making dinners, why not two dinners? And then combine them, one big dinner, cry yourself to sleep.
You've got to register that now because you've eaten time.
One big dinner, cry yourself to sleep, of course. A big folk hit. One big dinner, cry yourself to sleep. Wonderful.
Oh my god. Okay. A boy about 13 puts down a barrel and runs up. The captain waves his hand at the web of ropes. Okay, so the boy of 13 isn't young enough, but the grown-ass man of 26. Welcome aboard.
You seem spry in a way I can't quantify. Perhaps kind of confused romantic poetry of the 17th century that avoids pronouns will explain why you should get on
the The captain waves his hand at the web of ropes hanging from the nearest ship's masts. Teal, he says, show our new hand the ropes. There they are. Glad to, Captain Phipps.
Fine. Nice one. Fuck yeah. Get in the boat, prick. We're on the fucking...
Let's get some silver. Teal grins at you. This way, he says, taking your arm at the elbow. He pinches it hard as soon as the captain has his back turned. Now listen here, sentry, he hisses in your ear. I'll show you the ropes, all right. If you cross me, I'll see you hang from one of them. You do what I say, no back talk. When I say jump, you understand? You look this guy straight in the eye and nod. Why is he so nasty?
Do you not just say, like, hey, dog, you're, like, 13, so... Like, if you try to do any of that, I'll just break one of your legs.
I could pick you up and swallow you.
Yeah, like, have you ever been headbutted to death? Because, like, it's the 17th century, you're our most disposable commodity, 13-year-old boys. Like, this ship is running on a pile of 13-year-old boys on fire. Where do you get this confidence from? Is it mindfulness?
Your currency.
Are you doing mindfulness? Yeah, Jesus, that's very rude. Maybe it's the game. Maybe he's trying to neg. The kid adjusts his space monocle and takes out his novelty lunchbox. Now, I hate you. Give me your number.
I feel I should add that the book said, "Why is he so nasty?" and I didn't.
Oh, really? You were sure. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yes. Why is he so nasty? Why does everybody here think they know you? Well, you decided they're all going to call you Lucky Century. You might as well use that name. Probably a quantum leap thing, I guess.
Ziggy says there's a 78% chance this kid's rude.
As Teal explains the ship's routine, the ship turns and points out to sea. The strongest sailors pull the anchor cable up by winding it around a wheel called a capstan. Way ho away, haul away, my Rosie, the sailors sing. With each tunefully. O sound...
Way ho away my Rosie, I guess, is the thing. Like, that wasn't a very committed performance, that song.
Look, I do voices. I draw the line at singing.
Oh man.
Apart from that one time with the live show, but that doesn't count.
No, I leap over the line of any excuse to say, look, I'm a genie in a bottle. You've got to love me, that was two episodes ago.
With each O sound, they give the captain a push. Way ho away, haul away, Joe. The captain rings a brass bell on top of the forecastle, and the anchor lifts off the bottom. Sailors waiting far up the mast let the sails fall when they hear the bell. The square sails fill out with wind. You glide out to sea, part of the crew of the Rose of Algeri. Turn to page 8.
Do you think Wikipedia played a big part in this book? it's very I wrote this one. It's like, yeah, the capstan, which also can be pronounced capstain, was started like, it's very, yeah.
After 3 days at sea, Captain Phipps calls you to the bow. Somewhere up ahead, he says, is the Handkerchief Reef. On a map, it looks just like a handkerchief, but it's really jagged rocks and coral.
Oh no, I'm being hazed.
That was hay fever
I'm
season.
Hazed. There's no such thing as a handkerchief reef.
It's hay fever season. Don't blow your nose on jagged rocks and coral. He shields his eyes. I think the Spanish galleon broke to pieces somewhere on that reef. The same thing could happen to the Rose of Algeri. It's your job to see that it doesn't. He hands you a long rope with a piece of lead on its end. You drop it into the sea and let the rope out until it hits bottom. When it hits, you pull the rope back up. You count the length of the rope from the end of one outstretched hand to the other. This distance is called a fathom. 10 fathoms, you call.
Like a legend. What's good about this is that everyone is talking like this as well. Like that this kind of info dump thing is extending to the dialogue. Because the captain went, hey, this could also happen to the Rose of Algeri. You know, the boat we're on. Like,
as if you're gonna... No, it just feels like we're going around the Universal Studios tour of pirates, I guess.
Exactly. This is the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Yes. Not the DeLorean from Jurassic Park. Cheers. Nice one. fucking hell. Anyway, okay, so we're measuring a rope. God, yes. These books are so exciting. So we're measuring a rope.
To be fair, we're basically on page 3.
Yeah, well, I mean, by page 3 in some of these other books, my dead mother would be crawling up my leg saying, like, accept the purple slime.
Still plenty of water between the ship and the bottom. You keep a sharp eye on the water ahead. 9 fathoms and a half. A far-off cry comes from the lookout in the crow's nest. Boilers ho! Reef ho! In the far distance, you can just make out the white-tipped line of a reef. Phipps anchors off the reef. You search for 3 weeks, but there's no sign of the wreck. 3 weeks pass.
Whoa, that's some fucking Grant Morrison X-Men run shit, where it's like one page, 30,000 years later. Also, do you think you're giving the wrong emphasis to the words in that sentence, and he's really going, like, they're really, like, local football teams, and he's going, like, boilers, ho! Like, I think that would be, a bit more, I mean, if you're going to fucking kill 3 weeks like that, Jesus, at least have some kind of jovial atmosphere. Fucking 3 weeks. I feel like I wish I could
after
do
3 weeks. just go to sleep weeks. And wake up in 3 weeks' time.
Oh no, time for another holiday. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Great. I've literally just done wouldn't life be great if it was like a movie? It'd end before the complicated bit. Oh, like the worst humorous conceit of all.
Like, see, I thought you were either that could either have gone one of two ways. One of them was making jokes about games people just falling asleep and waking up when the new XCOM comes out. The second one is about depression. So,
well, look, if there's nothing I like more than games except depression. Both have a similar effect on me and are very closely linked in my mind. You know, when I was very depressed once, I played Angry Birds Star Wars and watched documentaries about serial killers exclusively for a month while not leaving my apartment. And I tried to write about it, and I got about 12,000 words into it, and I lost it. I've never been happier to lose anything in my life. what a piece of shit. But still, you know, you live and you learn. What I learned is free games can be good. But yeah, so there you are.
Sometimes
Fallout Shelter, we don't know. Hasn't come to Android yet, so I'll never know.
I mean, if you didn't name your Vault 420, what are you even doing?
Yeah, what is to say? Like,
actually, no. The other acceptable options are 69 and 187.
Yeah, 187 is definitely... 88's a good one if you want to tell people you're a Nazi. that's a kind of an internet thing that's fallen by the wayside, as a lot of people...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a pity, because I remember with great fondness the Australian video blogger The Hill 88, which was just a woman who was born in 1988, who was, like, I think the first Australian woman a lot of Americans had encountered, because they were extremely excited by her accent. And a lot of them were like, oh good, you have an accent that I am sexually stimulated by, you're 17 and you're a white supremacist, what could be better? And she went, hold up, I'm at least not one of those things. But yeah, I remember that being my first exposure to 88.
Are they 27? Are they a Nazi? Yeah, let's flip a coin.
I mean,
turns out we're playing Red Orchestra, and this is a roleplay server for the Third Reich.
Everything's to play for. What a great question. You know, because a lot of people make bad choices when they're 27, I hear. So, yeah. Christ.
Well, like, one of my friends is really into World War II shooters, and he finds it very hard to play on any server against the Axis, because there's a lot of Nazi role players on there, it turns out.
I mean, how boring do you have to be like, oh, I want to be the ultimate evil. Oh, I just picked the first one. I just, whatever the first one. whatever's easiest, you know. Like, let's not put in any fucking, you know, plenty of people are out there committing perfectly good genocide. Nah, just pick the one that's on all the t-shirts, mate, innit? Fucking, yeah, eugenics, fucking the only people that did it. I mean, there's so many underrated fucking dictators out there getting no love, getting no play. And yet every Tom, Dick and Harry's on the server being like, oh, it's me, I'm Klaus Barbie too, coming back. Like, who cares, mate? Klaus Barbie. Like, fuck off. You know, just this is gamers cannot even be white supremacists with originality. Like, think about that shit. Jesus. Oh.
Anyway, back to this children's book. You're swinging this in your hammock one night, trying to get to sleep. The forecastle's crowded with noisy sailors. A fool's errand this Phipps is on, says one of the sailors. I assume that's Hard Biscuits.
Yeah, Hard Biscuits fucking piping up again. Oh, man.
The more fools we for going with him, says another. Old Spanish silver sunk who knows where, and treasure ships are plenty tail these waters all the time. No treasure, no pay. That's what old buccaneer Henry Morgan used to offer, but he knew where to find his silver. He took it right from the Spanish. That's just some more exposition. Oh, it's beautiful. I'm bathing in it.
You know salted beef and his love of exposition. It keeps away the memories of his family and their watery grave.
Now listen to this audio log.
Play our prisoners, please. Someone is knocking down the door. Oh, salted beef, a tear to my eye.
Teal jumps off upon a table. Why do we take the ships and sail it where we please? Aye, the boy's right. Let's be pirates. That should have been the title of the book.
Yeah.
Leave the fool Phipps on an island.
Let's be pirates. My God, how simple is this? Like, is this... Like, I know this book is supposed to be about teaching children, like, history and shit. But if it's like, yeah, every big like social upheaval of workers, which are always bad, by the way, happens because some flute jumps on a table and shouts out it's the pirates. Do you think that's how the Pirate Bay got started? Although I don't think any of them have enough athleticism to fucking mount a table in a single leap. Let's tacitly support Nazis and be pirates.
I'm just imagining Johnny Pirate Bay putting a chair next to his table, climbing up on it.
Get me my getting step out of breath. Ladder. We're about to start a revolution.
Let's be pirates. Leave the fool Phipps on an island. Maroon him. Who's with us? You close your eyes and pretend to be asleep.
Nice tomorrow move. Day... Fucking hell. If only people knew about that in the fucking Munich Putsch. Holy shit. We wouldn't have anything to make jokes about. Why is everyone sleeping? Oh, they're all hammered, Adolf, man. Just come back next week.
Tomorrow at daybreak, we take the ship, someone cries. And them that don't join us can join the fishes. These sailors are planning a mutiny. Should you tell Captain Phipps about it, or keep quiet and join their pirate band? So you can either join the mutiny, or you can be a fucking narc about it.
Yeah, let's say there's one... Look, if Mac Dre taught us anything, Robin, it's the fucking snitches get stitches, right? The idea. Like, this book, oh yeah, workers up here, pirates. By the way, do you want to be a cop? Fuck this shit. As I always say, join the revolution immediately. Let the fucking overseer to the man settlers, let them die. Leave him on his fucking I bet it turns out he's like secret Gandhi or whatever. Who cares? Let him on the island. Fuck it.
Right, so we're joining the mutiny then.
Yeah, of course, man.
Of course. Like, not I'm just. Oh, I thought I had something to say about that, but like,
not a mutiny fan. I listen.
It was. No, it was the bit about like. That was just, maroon him. Who's with us tomorrow? Day week. Retake the ship. Someone cries. Like, maybe you shouldn't be screaming. That's in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Can you imagine Phibbs are like eating grapes? Tomorrow at daybreak, we take the ship. What is that? Is that salt beef again? What could he possibly be expositioning? Just like, we're just on a fucking boat.
Just like starts banging his mop on the floor.
Yeah, come on. Plot at this
hour. Some people are trying to sleep.
Plot at this hour, for fuck's sake. What am I not paying you for?
You decide it would be fun to be a pirate. You go to sleep in your hammock without saying anything to Phipps. You dream that a snake is wrapping its coils around you, squeezing tighter and tighter.
It's hot.
Ah.
Sorry. just editorializing.
This is the one that gives yourself goosebumps.
Listen, it's out there everywhere, man. Subtext, just like fucking communism, is secretly in everything. So just have to look for it.
Like, I mean, we keep going back to making jokes about R.L. Stein's work, but like, not even the ones I've done with you. Every single one of the Give Yourself Goosebumps books has had some weird psychosexual stuff going on in it.
I mean, if this was an R.L. Stein book, the snake would... Does anything else happen with the snake in this one?
I think it's a dream that a snake, so yeah. I think we wake
so
up
just wake
before
up,
we
yeah.
get...
Because if this... You'd grab the snake and try to choke it, but it would be too slippy. So you'd just be making this choking motion up and down the snake, and then the snake would go, "I'm your dad." And then you'd be like, "Well, I'm giant." And then the book would like evolve from there. That's the beauty of R.L. Stein.
And then
no alt.sex.anything left unexplored. Like,
I'm just imagining the captain would like go, "Why, that boy's 30 fathoms tall."
"Why, that boy's 30 fathoms tall, and I'm his dead mother." Anyway, yeah, very strange.
Okay. "Aha," someone shouts, waking you up. "It's Captain Phipps. He's found out about the mutiny. You try to jump to your feet, but you can't. There's a rope tied tight around your hammock. Most of the sailors are tied up the same way." "Now what have we here?" Phipps says, striding around the room. "A group of mutinous moths."
He's tied everyone up.
Surely he's tied everyone up while they sleep.
Like, did this just how did he sleepwalk? What's happening? Like, one of those people who, like, tries to initiate something at a party, like, be it drugs or sex or something, and tries the whole repeatedly being surprised by what? And, like, no one's tricked by that. Like, oh, what's going on here? Like, just, you know, fucking hell, Phipps. Just say your piece and fuck off.
Please. A group of mutinous moths all wrapped up in their own cocoons. Fishers like to eat moths. Maybe I'll feed you to them. He stalks out, followed by a few loyal sailors. This wasn't so smart. You know Phipps found the treasure, so the mutiny couldn't have succeeded. How could joining these greedy mutinies have helped you, anyway? Your hammock swings in a dark corner. No one noticed if you jumped back in time. Better try again.
Oh, again, man. Not only talking more to the character. More fuck the workers sentiment from the fucking choose your own adventure community. Let me just... you decided to rise up against your employer and get your own rights. You did wrong. That's never happened.
I feel we should add. We should add. This isn't Choose Your Own Adventure. This is Time Machine.
Sorry,
which is
sorry.
A different publisher.
Choose Your Own Adventure is a branded entity. Sorry. Time Machine.
Because, like, I have accidentally managed to get somebody in trouble because I've mentioned something that they've made over the course of this podcast. So I think that there's somebody from ChooseCo listening to all these episodes, just trying to find something. And if you're listening, why not subscribe to us on patreon.com/adventurepod? Yeah. And just anything from $1 to an episode to $5 per episode. And we'll put that money back into making this podcast as good as possible.
And the legal fund. Okay. Well, look, if you're from ChooseCo, first of all, big shout out. Love the work. Definitely put me on. I could write one. Think about it. Choose Your Own Adventure, set in the fucking 1989 Washington DC punk scene. The first waves of straight edge are dying. Fugazi has come to replace it. Is it what people want? You're a kid. Your brother's a drug dealer. You're a dragon. Oh, shocked. I would be. What happens next? Find out in Kill Your Local Drug Dealer, brackets, with fire. My book.
In square brackets, you can breathe fire. In curly brackets, you are a dragon.
You are a dragon and you will not break edge.
You know, that's one thing that Choose Go have over Fighting Fantasy, at least.
What? The straight edge element of their books? Or what?
Remember there was that one choice in House of Hell, which is, do you want red wine or white wine?
Oh yeah, that was a bit weird. That's a bit, yeah. Listen lads, look, imagine you're a dragon, or, you know, totally different approach, you know, it's 1994. We're in Memphis, you know, rap music, 3-6 Mafia's taken off, you're a Frankenstein. I know what you're thinking, it's Frankenstein's monster, not in Memphis in 1994, the rule book's out the window, cunts. It's all happening. Sorry, I know that's an offensive thing, sorry, it's just, I'm from Ireland, it's different. But like, just think about it, guys, might even put some swearing in your fucking Choose Your Own Adventure book, really fucking light it up. I can pitch these all day, man. Great. Anyway, so basically we were told fuck the workers, which I do not appreciate.
Yeah.
But let's say we're a fucking cop in disguise and we go to our boss. I'm like, boss, everyone's trying to manage their own destiny. Can you fucking help me fuck them out with their fucking, like, yeah. Let's just say we scuttle away to the fucking boss and see what happens. So
yeah, hypothetically.
Sure.
When everyone is snoring, you hypothetically sneak out and tack quietly in the captain's door. By thunder, Phipps growls when he hears the news. I'll show these pigs who's master here.
Oh my god, this is worse than... This is like me making a joke about what he would say. Like, that's terrible. Oh my, that's contempt, man. You just oh, awful. Anyway, yeah.
Nothing but... Phipps finds some loyal sailors and you sneak into the forecastle. Very quietly, you coil a rope around Teal, sleeping at... This is... Getting fucked up.
This is I'm the snake now.
How the tables have turned.
What are you talking about? That was in another option. Shut up, I'm the snake. Don't ruin this for me.
So could you stop hissing at least?
Oh, man. Wonderful.
The other men do the same to the rest of the mutineers. Phipps gives a signal and you pull the ropes tight.
I bet he does. Fucking hell. Have you ever seen the documentary Insects, which is about the first pay-to-view macho sadism streaming service where the guy was completely out of control and loads of the women had a terrible time and it was really psychologically fucked up. Because that's what this is like, Robin. A children's book should not be reminding me of a bondage documentary.
No. Above all things.
Yes, above all things. Yeah, fair point. Yeah. Okay, so we're a cop.
We're a cop. Teal and the others yell and struggle, but they're tied securely in their hammocks. Now, what have we here? Phipps says, strutting around the room. Just copy and paste this bit. A group of mutinous moths all wrapped up in their own cocoons.
Oh, Jesus, really? Is it the same?
That's exactly the same.
Oh, fucking hell. That's
a group of mutants. I'm told, my friend Sentry, that fishes like to eat moths. You follow him out on deck. Confound it, says Phipps. Now I'll have to sail to Port Royal to get rid of them and find a new crew. Or maybe in Jamaica we'll find some better clues about where to find the treasure. You know what I said about funny accents, by the way?
I'm not
doing silly voices. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm there's a new line.
We gone Juan Levitate. Look, Robin, I would never...
Sean McTiernan is not affiliated with Podrone Adventure.
Man, why you gone to me like that? But the thing about it is, right, the only reason to do an impersonation, like, that's not a Jamaican accent, right? Okay, so just to explain, right, whenever anybody, maybe this is just in Ireland, but I think it's worldwide, whenever anybody tries to do any accent, right, and they're not good at it, give them enough rope, they'll sound Jamaican. Right. This is the thing I know. When people are like, "Oh, I'm going to sound like I'm like," when people try to do my accent. Now you can hear me. I have no discernible accent whatsoever. Bit of a joke there. That's generally what I think because I hear my own voice all the time. But when people are like, "Oh, hello, mate. I'm from England. Bop, 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 bop. I'll do your accent. Hello, Sean. You are from Ireland. Haile Selassie. Like." It just immediately goes in. I feel so sorry, like that people who have such a wonderful distinct accent have a really shit version of it that everybody slips into it when they're trying to do anything else. It must be really fucking annoying.
There's a game called Heads Up, which is basically like gives you lots of different titles and like different categories at like films or music or games or actors, and one of them is accents. And I will refuse to play the accents one.
Yeah, because it's never going to be. It's never going to be like the Dutch from the country, is it? Like it's you know, it's never going to be like fucking I don't know Turkish or whatever. It's always going to be I'm a dodgy racist.
One of the ones that they had in the preview for that one was gangster.
Oh man, what could that mean?
Anyway, that's my glowing endorsement. Like, yeah, if you go for full-on 1930s, keep the change, you filthy animal, I'll allow that.
Hoist them higher, I'm going to ventilate you. Ma, ma, ma. Like, that's the way to go with that, right? Like, just
this is also, yeah, this is also the second time this episode I wanted to make a Home Alone reference.
Or you could say, hey, you know, you're doing the gangster accent. Hey, I'm an investment banker. Blow everybody's fucking what was that? Sorry, fucking yeah, we saw the take from space. Yes, dog.
Take the Earth stood still for.
Even I think the take the Earth stood still, even though it doesn't really make sense, is so good. I think worth preserving.
Tough Biscuits. That's gonna be their first EP.
Tough Biscuits, the take the Earth stood still. Yeah, and Salted Beef can do Jamaican accent. Yeah, it's gonna be
Hard Biscuits. That was
it.
Yeah,
it's a big label. It's gonna be like when Fox bought Wax Trax or whatever.
Hard Biscuits, the take the Earth stood still for, featuring Salted Beef.
There those jam bands, man, they're everywhere.
Anyway, Primus have got a new album out.
Boo. Man, Primus, right? Primus was like a big... I'm sure I've said... For some reason, when you and I speak, Robin, it's always eventually about Primus. Man, when Primus...
I
like,
can't help it.
I was really into Primus when I was a teenager because I own a bass guitar. Owned an operated one, right? And I was like, oh, fuck. I'll never be this good. I'll do bad versions of this in my bedroom, right? Which turns out true for a lot of things. Later on,
true for lots of instruments, especially.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah, and the band, you know, people as well. But I then, like, I went to see Les Claypool the day Michael Jackson died, right, in Canada, and I was really enjoyed myself for reasons not entirely to do. Going to do a lot of things where I imply something. I think we all know what I was talking about. That's right. I accept.
You're at a canvas. You're at a Primus gig, weren't you? So.
I'd accepted Jesus Christ my personal savior, correct? And but then, like recently, he put out. That's a real good slang for that, by the way. I went through a phase of saying, yeah, last night I accepted Jesus Christ my personal savior. But they put out a cover of every song from the Willy Wonka soundtrack. And eventually it's like, yeah, lads, I mean, I know the best type of criticism is when someone creates criticism about themselves, you know, like where the Elvis movies were all really critiques of what the Elvis persona was compared to the person and what it did to celebrity culture. But fucking Willy Wonka, are you serious? Jesus, Marilyn Manson did this fucking 20 years ago? Is that like, oh no, very, very sad, very sad. Anyway, so we've tied up everyone.
Yeah, they're tied up. So, what do we do? So, we're going back to Veracruz, Mexico, because apparently this scene is dead.
Oh, nice one. Well, you know what Fallout Boy said. It's not a scene. It's a, I can't move my arms because of a snake. So we're going from... So we're not going to Jamaica?
We're going to Mexico.
We're going. Oh, good. Well, we've missed the opportunity for an offensive accent. Hello, everybody. I am from Mexico.
Good day. You're in Veracruz, Mexico. It's May 26th, 1683. The town is so quiet you can hear the mosquitoes buzz. The hot sun bakes the dusty wooden shacks, the empty sandy streets running down to the sea, and a big white church. Where is everybody? You walk down to the edge of the sea. Buenos dias, says an old man, motioning you to sit down with him. I'm not going to carry on.
Oh man, please.
No, I've got to answer for this later.
Sure, that's fine.
I've already had one person call me a white supremacist, so...
Hey, well, I mean, that look, I mean, the facts were there. Oh, dear.
I am Francisco Granillo. Sit down. No one should be out in the sun at siesta time. Why are you here? I'm looking for the ships, you say. When will they load the treasure galleons? Oh, you are too early. The ships come once a year. The rest of the time, Veracruz is a city of the shadows.
Are you Don vampires? Francisco. Like, so, what does that mean?
Like, a city of the shadows. Like, that's...
Assassin's Creed 9.
I was going to say those cities in Norway, but also...
What does that mean?
You know, there's those places where they just have night for a bunch of months because of where they are.
That cannot be Norway. Like, is that not, like, the Antarctic?
What am I thinking? The Antarctic have night for about 6 months.
Where do you think Norway is?
Oh, I've got my geography wrong, haven't I? This is the offensive part.
I think the only place I know it's night all the time is Slough. Good joke. To be honest, I know you didn't laugh, but you know what? Fuck you. I'm someone.
It's a slow burner.
Someone out there is busting their hole, being like, "Oh, I live in Slough. It's shit. Amazing."
Speaking of busting your hole, I tried to type in multiple days of night, and Google autocorrected it to multiple days of diarrhea.
That's awful. I'm incredibly offended by that. Sometimes Google does stuff. This is more fucking Michael McIntyre buzz, but like, sometimes Google does stuff and you're like, I know all the stuff you do is because of what I've typed before, but is there any way we could make this a bit less real? You know what I mean? Like oh God, so depressing.
Yeah, I Googled it and I am right after all. Norway and Sweden.
Everybody's favourite sentence. Yeah, turns out I'm great.
Yeah, Norway and Sweden will have nights that last longer than 24 hours sometimes.
God, oh Jesus. Well, look, you wouldn't want to, that's a classic, just like when American tourists turn up on to Ireland on Good Friday and find out it's the one day of the year you can't buy alcohol. I can imagine people being like, oh, I just love Norway, just the views and everything. It's what?
Anyway, the City of Shadows, where were we?
Oh yeah, that's right. Good Lord.
Right. I've actually lost my place. Yeah, Veracruz is the city of the shadows. Don Francisco, a girl comes running up shouting, a sail, the fleet has come. Suddenly the town comes alive. Men and women run down to the sea to watch. A dozen ships approach the harbour from the north. Just as suddenly, the rejoicing stops. The smiles disappear. Old Francisco mutters under his breath. What's wrong, you ask? Those ships, he says slowly. They're not ours. They are French ships and Hollanders. What's wrong with the French? He looks as if you're crazy.
10 out of 10. Hey, I was in France, actually, since the last time we did this podcast.
All right.
Yeah, I went to Paris with my girlfriend. And you know what happens when you go to Paris with your girlfriend? People are like, did you pop the question? For like two months either side. And I have to be like, no, I didn't. No, ha, 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 funny. Yeah, no. Wasn't even allowed to go anywhere near the Eiffel Tower because it wasn't architecturally interesting. That's true. No, I didn't. Really bad. Recommend, if you go out with someone for a long time, do not go to Paris around the time crazy people start saying, why aren't you married? Because it can be very stressful for everyone.
See, the only question I'd ask people that go to Paris is, how many skulls did you see? Did you count how many skulls you see, and did you bring me back a skull?
Mate, let me tell you, I said, let's go to the cool skulls place, and the person I live with, my spiritual advisor, basically called me entry level for a good 20 minutes and was like, we're not doing any of that lame shit. What are you talking about? It's like, oh, sounded cool. Instead, we had to go to the fucking Pompidou. I actually know what everything we did. You know what? If you're going to go to Paris, go to someone with three architecture degrees. You don't have to pay for any tours. Yeah, it was cool though. It was great. But I can imagine being fucking pissed off if I saw them rocking up on a boat.
Well, my old housemate used to insist that Paris smells really, really bad. Can you confirm or deny this?
It smells really, really different. I find like English people think everything that's different is bad. Is that?
That could be it. Yeah. I mean, it might just be like the areas around the Seine, possibly.
You know where it's genuinely, legitimately smells bad. Dublin. Yeah, just fucking terrible place.
Fair enough.
Never come to Dublin. Everything's expensive. Loads of American tourists. A bit of that awful Star Wars movie everyone hates was filmed here.
And Sean McTiernan lives there?
I live here. And I'm looking out at it right now at a clock tower. That's bells, two of which are broken. So instead of going bomb, 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 it goes bomb, 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 bomb. It's so annoying.
I think you're doing Sandstorm then.
Yes. Man, Sandstorm, right, should not be a meme. Right, because it's the first time a meme has ever taken a genuine memory of mine and smushed it for meme reasons. Because Sandstorm was always in the school discos. Sandstorm always signaled the last hour, where the DJ, who was also the woodwork teacher, would just activate the fucking jams, and we'd just be, and then it'd just be lacing at Sandstorm, Fatboy Slim, Jive Bunny, fucking that song that mixed Smells Like Teen Spirit together with Bootylicious that he said he made himself. What a bastard. And now Sandstorm is just fucking lads in Bazinga t-shirts being like, ah, the video's weird. And it's like, man, how about you live an authentic experience, you fucking parasite? Or words to that effect.
See, I'm not even going to finish that sentence.
No, listen.
I already have very little self-respect. It would just driven that through the floor. So.
Look, any bit of self-respect you can muster, I reckon, is good. And that's my personal philosophy. Join my cult. It's just me in sweatpants watching Seinfeld. It's great. Every so often I make someone get up and get more beer. It's fucking class.
Like, this is the thing. I don't say I'm always right. I just say I'm rarely wrong. That's also because I am crippled by self-analysis and just picking myself apart, so...
Well, this is the thing. When people are like, hear me on podcasts, and they're like, oh, your man thinks everybody's stupid and everything like that. Like, I am so depressed that, like, my life...
Sorry for laughing.
No. It is funny. My life is almost entirely interior, and everything I give out about is just really, really harsh self-criticism. The fact that that eludes people, and they're like, oh, he's coming to my house and fucking slagging me mom. Like, I don't care. Like, about when I give out about people, I'm not thinking... I think, like, I used to be really into games, that's why I can make fun of guys. Like, everything I used to... Like, I'm just mad, like... Look, lads, if you take what I say personally, it means your parents fucked up. It's not my fault. No, I'm just joking. If you take what I say personally, you should just ignore. I know this probably sounds crazy. If you've never heard the podcast before, first of all, you're probably like, man, that guy's got a nice voice. Whoa, who's that guy? Woo! Don't worry. It grates after a while. But also, if you've never heard the podcast before, you're like, this guy's talking like he's famous. What is he, Dwight D. Eisenhower? First of all, well spotted. No, but I'm not. But I do have this experience of podcasts, and I'm sure you have it too, Robin, where people are like, oh, you're so critical. Why are you being so critical? They're games. Everyone has to love games, or whatever. And you're like, no, this is just an extension of self-criticism that exists constantly in my head. What the fuck? Why are you, like, is it
weird?
This
is kind of the thing, yeah. Well, like, I used to say... that if there was something I didn't like, I'd say, this is bad. And then I stopped doing that and saying, I don't think this is very good. Because then it puts it on me, saying, I don't think this is good. Then I realised I was only doing that to spare other people's feelings, and I've gone back to saying things are bad again.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I think, like, I went from, like, oh, saying things are shit, and then I'd be like, you know, from a certain angle, this is shit. And then I realised that's that video game lad thing where you think that being an adult is doing devil's advocate all the time. Where you go, yeah, but maybe it's not. And that's the entirety of your fucking nuanced arguing thing. So I went back to having actual opinions. Instead of being like, we should be fair to everyone. Build a big statue of a Nazi. You don't get free speech. I'm fucking, you know, like, bullshit. So yeah, like, just say, anyway. Like, you know when people say, let them live? No, let them die, Robin. Let them all fucking die.
Die on your own terms.
Yes.
I'm getting that tattooed on my face, actually. I've decided that now.
I'm going to get... what am I going to get? Do you know the rapper Bushwick Bill?
Let's go with yes.
I'm going to get his face tattooed on my face. Good call. As directly as possible.
It's like that film where they take the guy's face off and put it on his face. I can't remember what it's called.
The only funny joke in the movie Spy, by the way. All of the Jason Statham bits. There's a bit where Jason Statham at the start... Have you seen the movie Spy?
No.
It's not worth seeing, but every bit with Jason the movie Spy, right, is written with the best of intentions by a man who clearly still hates women and wants to show his work, right. Basically. Right? It's this ostensibly... like, it's
total... Like, it's a fucking GCSE maths.
It's total bullshit. But the bits with Statham, right, who has actual chemistry with Melissa McCarthy, unlike fucking Miranda Hart, two Americans are still so confused by the thing she's funny. No. But Statham makes fun of himself throughout the movie and is like, I mean, I think at one stage he claims he once appeared convincingly in front of Congress as Barack Obama. Like, there's all these amazing fucking weird Statham boasts in it. But the first one is like, he appears and he, like, nothing is funny initially. He's just really, really gruff, like he is in all the movies he's actually in. And then he's like, I've got a plan. Put me in the face-off machine. And then, like, proceeds to fucking describe the plan. And they're like, yeah, do you have 50 cents for the face-off machine? They're like, no, it's like, it's not real. And he's like, oh no, there's a bloody face-off machine. You're keeping it from me. Like, that's really funny.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, that's about the only good joke in the movie.
Glad I don't have to watch the film now.
Yeah, they saved you money.
Anyway, the French, they are pirates, of course, he shakes his head. They will destroy our town. In 1641, we've destroyed the English raiders in Providence. Now the raiders have returned. Again, loving the fact dumps here. This is beautiful. Yeah.
Thanks, Wikipedia, Jose. Nice one. See.
Come on, don't be racist. This guy's name is Don Wikipedia Francisco.
Don Wikipedia Francisco. Yes, for only four dons a month, we could...
It's me, Jimmy Francisco.
It's me, Jimmy Francisco. Don, why has a threatening JPEG of a beardy man appeared above your head? Well, we run on donations, you see, century traveller, whatever the fuck the guy's name is.
This is why he wants all that silver.
It is, yeah, so he can fund an open source knowledge base where people can fucking argue about Gozer for 3,000.
Where people will just go on there. I haven't brought this up just because you're on. Well, people will just go on there and change every instance of the word evil on the Wikipedia page for evil to Irish evil.
Did that happen?
I think there was a Ryan North thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe.
Oh, man, hilarious. My race, once again. My race, what the fuck? Can't even do that seriously. That's stupid. My favourite piece of Wikipedia vandalism, apart from the one that remained for about 5 years, which was that in Japan, the stock market crash, the American stock market crash, was known as the Doki Doki Panic, which was the first name of Super Mario Brothers or something.
Yeah.
And someone had, like, that was what Japan called the stock market crash. For, like, 5 years, that's what it said on the Wikipedia page. So that's definitely in a load of fucking shit. But the town my mother grew up in, I'm sure I've talked about this before as well, someone kept editing the Wikipedia page to say they had a werewolf problem. And then they said that the local council were trying to suppress the werewolf problem. And they also made like a bunch of just ones, which was my favorite one of which was Lars Ulrich from Metallica once got a Mars bar in what was then Cards and Gifts. he did not purchase a beverage. One of the funniest sentences I've ever read.
Anyway, where were we? Now the Raiders have returned. Once Spain was strong, he said sadly, but all empires must grow weak one day. Run for your life. Longboats full of men waving pistols approach the shore. The people of Veracruz grab what they can carry from their houses and run for the hills. A cannibal hits the tower of the old white church, and the big bell comes crashing down. You run as fast as you can. A storeroom door opens and a man runs out, carrying a very heavy bag. You jump through the open door, slam it shut, and crouch in the darkness. You can hear screams and shouts outside as the pirates destroy the town. The door bangs open and a thin, bearded man runs in. He has a torch in one hand and a sword in the other. Aha, he cries. They keep saying aha in this book.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good crush to have. It's funny because you're writing it, you're probably like, I feel sorry because the people who wrote this book obviously wrote on a deadline, right? Like, everybody, all these books are written on a deadline. And you write something, you're like, oh yeah, that sounds natural. And then, you know, the first time you write anything and you read it out loud, like, why do I keep saying the word probably? Why is this in every sense? So I'm sure, like, they don't think they've internalized aha over about 20 books, but here they are, like every character being like, yeah. But anyway, aha.
He throws his torch to the ground and grabs you. He twists your arm behind your back and puts his sword to your neck. Where is the silver? He hisses in your ear. Tell me quick. I don't know. I'm just a visitor here. Ha! You lie. Shall I give you... That's ha, and then you lie, as in the person's telling that to us, not ha, and then we lie as a verb.
Ha! You lie. What now?
Shall I give you a smile? A nice red smile from ear to ear? He presses the sword harder against your throat.
What? Is this, like, this book has been fairly benign up until now, and now the prospect of a Colombian necktie, definitely a racist name, sorry, is that's a bit weird.
This character in this children's book just going, do you want to know how I got these scars? He presses the sword harder against your throat. A second pirate bursts in and surveys him with his torch.
It doesn't matter who we are. Sorry. Not in the right movie.
Oh. No, this again, then just like fucking General Zod bursts through the door as well. Why not?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is in 1896, the galleon came from.
Here it is, he shouts. The other end of the room is piled high with bars of silver gleaming in the torchlight. Mark this down, the new pirate shouts. I claim all the silver in this room is my share of the plunder. Not so fast, Grammont.
Fucking hell, this lad is Bagsy in it, obviously. a nuanced appreciation of fucking property. Yeah, I'm Bagsy in this, guys. Sorry.
Nice gold. Nice silver. I'm just going to, like, fuck, put my hat on it. Now you can't touch it. What if I lick it? If I lick it, are you going to touch it now?
Oh, enough wealth to start a country. Sorry, fucking Bagsy.
Alright, not so fast, Grammont, the first pirate pushes you away and waves his sword. I was here first, this is mine. And if, my dear Van Horn, this is the only silver storehouse, they both have their swords up now. Then, gentle sir, I'm afraid you'll be very sad. On guard, the pirates battle through the room. Maybe it's time to be on the trail of your own silver. You could jump back in time to the year the Concepcion left for Spain, like 1641. Do you want to jump back to this same town, Veracruz, or to the Isle of Providence old Francisco spoke about? The straw-covered floor smoulders from the torches. The pirates don't seem to care as they lunge and parry with their swords. So we are jumping back in time 42 years, so either to Veracruz or Providence.
So this book, right? They
The
time travel thing is just basically them running out of book and saying, like, go back and we'll do another one. Like, it seems really, really... Yeah. It's not extremely compelling. Like, I'm sure that's the like, I do understand that this is supposed to be educational, and this is, like, the sort of so vaguely gamified, it's not really gamified way they're going about it. But it's a bit weird, isn't it, to just be like, oh, yeah, let's just make you go through every one of the options so you can see the whole...
Yeah. We did another one of these, which is about dinosaurs, and in that it was just jumping back and forth millions of years, because who knows, maybe this thing's in a different time period, it's not like this thing works properly. So, like, it was just, it was a weird choice to, like, have it be going through time instead of, like, going left or right, but also, like, just pick a time period and stick to it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like time travel anything is a little bit... Like, I don't know. I really like that movie. I can't think of the fucking name. It's a one-word title, right? And it came out last year. And I don't want to say... you can put it in the show notes. But it's not time travel, right? But it's about multiple universes. But it's a dinner party. So these people are at a dinner party, right, in the outskirts of LA. And the power goes out. And they send one person out to go look. Mm-hmm. And the person comes back and he's like, I saw us. I saw a house with all of us in it. And there's panic. And they talk about it. They don't really know how to deal with it.
Oh, it's Coherence, by the way. I just
Googled yes, it. Coherence. I don't want to tell you any more. Coherence is amazing. Like, Coherence,
I will watch it.
If you like stuff like Looper, or if you've seen Time Crimes is quite good. Triangle is like a less good version of Time Crimes, frankly, even though it's got probably a more one single visually striking kind of reveal for the time travel thing in it, you know. Those are the three movies I would recommend about paradoxes and stuff like that. Primer, I think, is very, very over recommended for what is a very specific kind of art movie. But yeah, I would say Coherence, Triangle, and Time Crimes are all like fun genre things that are about dealing with multiple realities and stuff like that in a very cool way. So yeah, just a bit of a recommendation there. Not really fun, but might be useful.
There you go. Yeah, like, no, it's just, that's a good concept. I'm going to legally purchase this and watch it on my own time through the proper channels.
Yeah, exactly. As I recommend with all media.
All right, so are you staying in Veracruz or are you going to Providence?
Providence, I guess. Why not? Rhode Island, that's here we name. Come.
Hell yeah. You're right on the edge of a cliff. You step back. The cliffs line a natural harbour on Providence Island. Several tall masted ships sway gently in the harbour breeze. You walk down a narrow path into the first town called Providence. It's May 24th, 1641. A cheering crowd of sailors surrounds the entrance to a bar. You push through to see what's going on. Two men face each other across a small table. So it's double or nothing, eh? Right, but I don't trust the way you roll them dice, Calico Joe. I don't trust the way you roll them dice, Calico Joe.
Calico Joe. Oh, dear. Oh, well.
This guy named himself after a cat.
Yeah. I'm Calico Joe. It's the scariest name I could think of. What about Killer Joe? Shit, that's way...
God damn it. Can I go back?
What about Punch Joe? Even that is better, even though I sound like a drink. God.
I'm just trying to find this video now. Hang on 1 second. Have you seen the Eric Andre Show?
I can you think of something that is more my sense of humor than the Eric Andre Show?
Have you seen the bit where Killer Mike and Action Bronson have a rap battle on the treadmill?
Yes.
It's the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah, I am. Fuck.
Yeah. The f*** are you doing?
Like, what I like about the Eric Andre Show is it's probably, apart from fucking, I know some absolute legend's going to swan in and say fucking Steven Universe or what's the name of that show? BoJack Horseman or something. But Eric Andre, the most identifiable portrayal of depression is definitely the opening thing of Eric.
Yeah.
Like, that where he just sits down at the end and is just completely defeated, and then life starts. That's exactly what it's like. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What's that? Like, man, the best thing to me will always be when they bring on that woman that I think that he was on a show with, and they're like, they bring out three old people and they tell her to point to one, they shoot her. Do you remember that? And then they're then they like just drag off the body and don't talk about it. Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, very good show, Our Country. Like, I kind of go back and forth on whether I just watch it for Hannibal Buress or whether Eric Andre is just as good.
Eric Andre did this thing on a otherwise terrible show called Midnight, where it was him and TJ Miller. TJ Miller is also incredibly unhinged as a person. Like, you get, because it's a really good explanation of what's interesting about, but I don't really like comedy or overanalyzing comedy. I was really into it when I was younger. So Eric Andre legitimately let off fireworks. Like bangers on the show without telling anybody he was going to do it. And like the crew like rush on and the guy hosting it has to be like, it's okay, it's just Eric. And so TJ Miller reacts in no way. So like Eric Andre literally lights bangers off and starts laughing. TJ Miller continues without knowing it was going to happen to stare straight ahead as if nothing is happening. And the host the host freaks out and everybody runs around. That's 50% of the great Eric Andre moments. The other one is the execrable show Getting Dug with High, where Doug, whatever his name is, makes people smoke weed and is like, hey man, remember doobies. But they did a live show and it was like five comedians and one of them is Eric Andre. And at one stage, without telling anybody, Eric Andre walks off and comes back on with an excitable dog that starts barking at everybody. And he immediately, everybody freaks out. Like, he induces a freak out in everybody with this dog. And people can't handle it. One guy, like, turns away from the dog because they're all really stoned, you know what I mean? In front of an audience of people. And then this dog. And then they're like, can you get the dog off stage? And Eric Andre goes, it's not my dog. And it's the most fucked up. It's so funny. Man, Eric Andre's a legend.
Yeah. So where are we? I want to talk about At Midnight quickly because you mentioned it. I've never watched a full episode of that. The only thing I know about that is that they've got this one section on there where they find weird fan art on DeviantArt and ask who's got the most like hits on it and see which is the most popular.
Yeah.
And one of my friends has actually had some of their art featured on there with something they drew as a commission, which is cool. Somebody paid them money to draw something weird.
Was it credited to them?
No.
Ah, cool. Yeah, that's my big problem with a lot of that stuff, I guess. Even if it's weird, you should probably say that the people did it. You know, all this like bullshit crowdsourced comedy stuff, like, you know who makes money off that? It's not you. Like, you know, like, I mean, look, Richard Herring does something like that with the, his podcast where there's that British anonymous Tumblr for people who fetishize British comedians.
All right.
And they're like, it's called British Sex Comedian Confessions or something. And it's like, I wish, you know, whatever his name is, Michael McIntyre would shit in a golf ball and feed it to me or what. You know, it's all these weird, like, that's kind of an exaggerated funny one. The real ones are way creepier. They're like, Dara O'Brien can talk his magic Irish accent up my bum any day of the week and then hold me and call me Lucy. Like, you know what I mean? And
look, I'll tell you this. There's a reason why I had to unfollow Ikluga Bullets off Twitter, so.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, he will read that to the person and get them to react to it. And they all have the same reaction, which is, oh dear. And then, like, he'll tell one of the men, there's none of you. And they'll go, oh, I'm disappointed. I'd love if there was one of me. And it's really lame. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, oh, I don't know. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so we're in, where are we now? We're in Providence.
Providence. Okay, so Calico Joe. You just mentioned Killer Joe, which made me think of Killer Mike. We just got distracted for another 10 minutes. God, this is the worst podcast I've ever recorded.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I feel bad now.
No. I'm not very good at doing jokes, I guess.
No, you're. That's why this podcast's so bad. Like. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Okay, okay, it's double or nothing. Right, but I don't trust the way you roll them dice, Calico Joe. Well, and do I blame you? Let's get somebody else to do it. He looks at you. Hey, mate, are you Lucky? That's my name, you say. Lucky Sentry. Well then, roll me dice, matey. He holds out a couple big, bumpy-looking dice with crowns and anchors instead of dots. You roll them across the table. Crown me little darlings.
Wow. The nice novelty dice. Like, who has custom dice? I mean, I assume lots of people now, but like, who back then be like, put anchors on it, I'm cool. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
The other man turns white and slowly moves away. Calico Joe rakes in his money with a laugh. Pull up a stool, my lucky matey, and have yourself a drink. You learn that the sailors all come from a ship called the Seahawk, moored a few yards away. About time we paid a wee visit to the Spanish, don't you think, boys? Says Calico Joe. The others pound the table in agreement. Are you pirates?
What? So, like, he's like, hey, should we do this? And instead of saying yes, they're all like... It's fucking lunacy. Doing anything interesting for the weekend, lads? Oh, great.
Pound twice for yes.
Jurassic Park, is it?
It turns out that these aren't pirates, they're horses.
Oh, man, excellent. How good would that be as a twist? So,
yeah.
Let me pitch another book. So, it's the Sunset Strip. It's 1987. You're in a metal band. You're glam. Is it fading? Grunge is a few years off. There's still plenty of money to be made. You're a horse. What? You can't get the bandana on. The peripheral vision is fucking with your ability to manage the stage correctly. It's all happening. You can't play the guitar. You've got a hoof. ring me with my pitches.
All right. Are you pirates, you ask? Pirates? Calico Joe exclaims, laughing. No, mate. We're privateers. The English king gave us a paper that says we can raid the Spanish all we like. Hands off your English towns, but who cares? The Spanish have all the silver. Suddenly the table flips over, the privateers go tumbling to the ground. Get thee behind me, Satan, a stern man in black with a tall hat and carrying a Bible points a bony finger at the sprawling men. Thou lovest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Ow, says Joe stumbling to his feet. This new Puritan minister is worse than the last one.
They also have a big case of the expositions here.
Yeah.
Hey.
Bloody Puritans.
It's me, a representative of one part of history. I'm about to fight the other one. who doesn't love semantics? I'm not a pirate, I'm a privateer. They're different for reasons you will get now.
Look at you, says the Puritan. Grown men playing Satan's games, while your ship lies there idle and the shipworm eats its hull, and spreading your corruption to a mere child, he grabs you, Sean McTiernan, by the ear and drags you off.
I'm 26, mate. I like also, like, shipworm, not real.
You're saying that as he drags you away.
Don't mean to get all Dawkins on you here, but like, don't rope me into your games with your sky shipworm.
I think having Richard Dawkins on the show is the end goal of this entire podcast.
You reckon? He'll just be like, "This, none of this happened. Why are we even talking about it? How can I put out a book with a bigger picture of my own face on the cover? I've definitely advanced science. I'm a legend." By the way, here's some wild Islamophobia.
See, I was just going to go for the easy joke and say something like, would you like to take some honey or jam with you on the plane?
Yeah, I think the honey or jam thing is kind of eclipsed by him saying we should send feminist pornography to Islamic countries.
Yeah.
Which is a thing he sincerely suggested. Do you reckon he's any crack in person? I don't think so.
God.
There's a podcast called Very Bad Wizards, which is kind of boring, to be honest with you, if you're not into specific kind of entry, philosophical questions and stuff, like free will and whatever. But one of the guys for a documentary, was about the word meme.
Yeah.
Because Richard Dawkins, because he is patient zero of being a shithead on the internet, invented the word meme, right? And your man, as the part of this documentary, got to show Richard Dawkins some memes.
Right.
Lemon Party is the one he chose.
You know what?
So, like...
Fair play.
Yeah, and Richard Dawkins was obviously like, oh my god, did I invent that? I mean, oh my me, of course. But yeah, like... I thought that was kind of funny to choose Lemon Party instead of, I don't know, a cat or, you know... One of the racist ones from Vine, I guess, or what?
Just the entirety of Paul, I guess.
Yeah, just any of the classics, you know, Shoop de Whoop, Charge in Malaysia, all the good ones. Sorry, I just remembered Charging Malaysia.
It's the year is 2006.
Yeah. Oh my god.
See, I was going to mention my favorite Richard Dawkins thing about inventing the meme, and that he's actually in the official Metal Gear Solid timeline, because Metal Gear Solid 2 was a video game, and like it traces back saying Big Boss was born, the virtuous mission. Richard Dawkins publishes the selfish gene.
What's funny about that is that Richard Dawkins, now this is getting a bit lol random even for me, Robin, but he does talk like a Metal Gear Solid villain.
He does.
Where like you hear him talking and you're like, I bet he was just doing this and people turned up. Like, I bet you, like, if we left the room, this would continue without end. And it's like, ha, ha.
Did you see that thing he said recently about, like, how we shouldn't fear death, we should fear eternity, and after all, isn't death just an anesthetic for eternity?
Snake. Like... Do you know what I mean? Like, like, seriously, like, fucking Richard Dawkins is, I don't know, Vamp? I can't remember anything about Metal Gear Solid. But to be honest with you, people are like dying for me to take that seriously and everything. And it's like, yeah, one of the lads is called Big Boss. And
he's the Big Boss.
He's the Big Boss. Sorry, lads. I was like, no, take it seriously. There's a nudie sniper in it. Yeah, lads, I'm afraid I'm going to have to hard...
The villain in this one's called Skullhead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hard pass on your fucking Skullhead game. Thanks. Although I read a great blog post by a guy who'd been doing really thoughtful analysis of the Metal Gear Solid games that said, I have to stop doing this because it's giving them more credit than they're worth. These games are sexist pieces of shit. Did you read that? It was really fascinating. The guy was a really long discussion of it. I'll send it to you afterwards, great.
Yeah, I want to see that. We've been recording for about, like, coming up on an hour and, I think, 50 minutes at this point, should we just call it?
Yeah, listen, the book ends. Pirate right. Bay starts.
We find the silver.
If we find the silver. Book, 1 out of 10. Wikipedia exists. Sorry, lads. That one wasn't great. I mean, look, funnily enough, we did find some stuff to talk about. But, yeah, the book really wasn't... Those ones don't really jump out at you, do they?
No, the other one was quite dry as well. I mean, there probably is some more interesting facts about pirates halfway through there as well, but, like...
Yeah, but they're kind of, like, at least... What I like about the Goosebumps ones is they're for the lunatic children. The branded ones, you know, the whatever, the fantasy, more fantasy-based ones, are obviously for, like, sincere, kind of nerdy, fun children. These ones seem to be, like, for the weird, like, I agree with daddy children who, like, have no personalities or whatever. It's like, why would I be having fun when I could be learning? You know, it's like, oh, don't do that. You know, like, do something weird. Like, waste your time. It's where you grow a personality. Like,
get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I feel really... Whenever I see a kid like that, I'm just like, for fuck's sake, insult somebody and hate somebody. Like, it's the only way you're going to learn, like, to be a person, you know? Oh, dear. Anyway. Well, God love them. Anyway, pirates. I don't know.
I'll say with pirates by... Jim Gasparini, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, we learned a lot, we loved a lot, we laughed a lot, God love us.
We didn't read much.
Yeah, but I think at least he won't listen and be like, they didn't respect my book. Like, the book's fine. Like, you know, it's fine.
It is what it is, and...
It's just not, it's not crazy. Like, considering all the past, four episodes I was on, it was, like, Goosebumps books, which is, like, again, one long... fucking Red Room sequence from Twin Peaks. R. L. Stein speaking backwards. It's funny to come up against one that's just like, and then we jolly well ran up a hill, you know. Okay.
Like, I mean, that was a book where it did exactly what it promised. We sailed with pirates. And I'm almost disappointed about that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many episodes is this now?
61.
61, like, that's a lot of books, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of, like, I mean, is it, like, do you feel like, how do you feel it's going? I always ask you this, which is a bit weird, that I'm the person who comes in and is like, how do you feel it's going? But, like, it's interesting, like, you know, like, the number of different ways you can approach a book and with different people, you know, like, it's funny.
I think, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say, it's really interesting to see like the different takes by some of the different authors as well. We've had a few books that have been sent in that I'm sorry, I'm just not going to be able to feature them on the show because I showed you that X-Men one where it was just like...
That X-Men one was wordy.
The tiniest font and so many words just like packed into one thing, and like most of the references in the book were like that as well. It would just end up being like this episode if we tried to go through that one.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought like the thing about that is I'm sure people who were reading that at the time, you would just want more X-Men lore or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So like the approach is just to slam in as much of that stuff as possible, you know?
Definitely, yeah. This is something that somebody asked me when Ask FM was still a thing. Like, if you want to see any video game series made into a game book, what would you want to see? And I thought about it and I thought, well, most of those games have already done their own job at telling their story. So I want to see Street Fighter. Like, fuck it. I want to play as Ryu. I want to leave from Japan. And I want to know that there's going to be a fight with Akuma at the end of it. But I want to do all the stuff in between where, like, I don't know, he buys a new pair of shoes, but they're too tight. He has to go back and get his money back for them. Or he goes to the toilet and there's no toilet paper. I want a book with all the weird stuff in between because...
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're for. Yeah, like, they're far kind of unlikely.
It should be fan service.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is it, right? You know, if you want any... I'm trying to think what I would say for any game series turned into an adventure.
Condemned, surely.
Sorry?
Condemned?
Condemned, man. Man, imagine how good Condemned would be. Like, yeah, you're in another blank room, another homeless guy is attacking you. Feels like a Tuesday.
TGIF kicks up his head.
Another hard day fighting a fucking psychic ninja. Yeah, like Condemned, I do. Persona would be really good, I guess.
Yeah,
because
that's a
Persona
good point.
Is like you could just do more with that world.
Well, like Persona, there's a lot of that feels visual novel-y as well, but it's more game.
Yeah. I actually think some of the LucasArts ones probably be better as a book, you know?
That's not a bad shout, actually, yeah.
Yeah, like, and then some of the, like, definitely something like, not Gemini Rue, but the same company made one about set in a Jewish community, I can't remember the name of. Stuff like that, I think, like, I really, really appreciate the effort to make it a game, but if game books were more popular, I feel like it would be even better, because they clearly had the depth to write an actual piece of literature, but wanted the kind of element of, narrative. Do you think
I think also wanted more people to pay attention to it, unfortunately.
Definitely. I think, well, I mean, like, it's a niche thing anyway, look, adventure games, you know what I mean? But like Ryan North, you had Ryan North on the show, he wrote an adventure book, but I think he had the clout, you know what I mean? To put behind it, you know, and it's such a good idea, you know, it's such a good hook. And, like, there's so many, you know, whereas somebody who's sincerely putting together, like, I mean, Twine, I guess, is this, right?
Twine is a very good alternative to that in the modern day, yeah. Like, I think the game you're thinking of was The Shiva. I've just Googled.
Yeah.
Twine is really good because it gives creators that option to, like, do their own stuff. I just really like how people have the ability to create. And also the ability to ignore stuff that they create as well, I guess.
Yeah. I think, you know what, like, I shit on gamers all the time, but, like, I think, like, ludic possibilities are really interesting. I just think gaming culture has very little to do with actual ludic design and ludic approach when, like, people are, like, worshipping advertising and stuff. So, like, and I know that's a really cliche thing to say, but, like, whatever, you know, like...
Hot on the heels of our E3 episode.
Yes, coming hot on the heels of me, a man who sounds like Eeyore shitting on E3. Just what you need. Fucking hell. yeah. Increase the peace. But anyway, look, not to make this too long an episode. Wonderful. Glad you're still doing the podcast, Robin. Good to talk
Thank
to you again. I have nothing to promote. Your Twitter. Read the book Helen DeWitt wrote called Last Samurai, which is a really good book. Nothing to do with the film, so don't panic. That's my piece of PR.
All right. I'll just let everybody know now, this is episode 61. Yes, I do have something planned for episode 69. Don't worry.
Sorry.
Thank you for coming on the show, Sean.
No problem. Thank you for agreeing to let me on the show at short notice.
It's fine. And thank you at home for listening. Bye.
Bye.